That you're welcome to, but you know, if you get cranking, just go for it.
Well, here we go. I was hoping to get up here after quarter till, and I was hoping I could read my own portion. So we're going to be real short today. No round of applause or anything like that? Okay. We're in Mark chapter 12. Are you guys familiar with Paul Harvey? The rest of the story?
Yeah.
In November of 95, he told this, gave this illustration, the Butterball Turkey Company had set up a hotline to answer questions about, you know, preparing holiday turkeys. You know, that would be cool, yeah. And there was a consumer who called in, and she inquired about cooking a turkey that had been in their freezer for 23 years. You know, that kind of throws you if you're the operator. Well, the operator said, you know, that it might be safe if the freezer had been, you know, zero or below for the whole time, but the operator warned the woman that, you know, even if it were safe, the flavor had probably deteriorated, and she wouldn't really recommend eating it. Well, the caller replied, no, that's what we thought, so we're just going to give it to the church. Usually it's the mission, but we get our stuff after the church gets it. we had a newspaper guy come, and he was, because we were throwing some stuff out, and he was going to film it, and boy, get us in real trouble. He went over to the dumpster and looked at it, didn't say another word, got the camera, went back into the van, just rolled down his window, sorry, guys, you know. It was ripped and mildewed and, oh, well. But, you know, why, when we talked about that Butterball thing, you know, why did we think that was funny? I mean, I laughed hysterically. But that's because I'm with the mission. But, you know, she was consecrating that turkey, wasn't she? She was giving it to God, sort of. And what she was offering was still good, wasn't it? But though it may have been consecrated, and though it was still good, you know, it wasn't going to taste good, and it wasn't going to smell good, and you don't even have to be a cook to know that. Offerings to God, you know, that which is consecrated to God should taste good, and it should smell good, and you know what I mean by that. You know. So we'll reread Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. That's our portion this morning. Sue wanted me to talk about those goofball Pharisees, but I couldn't bring myself to do it. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on.
Wow.
It is a mild Sabbath morning in the Palestinian city of Jerusalem. And the sun had not yet risen to full strength, but there is a huge lineup on this dusty road of folks waiting to get into the temple. There's smoke in the air because there's some animals that had already been sacrificed and they'd been burned on the altar. And in that slow-moving line, there's all kinds of people. There's rich folks, there's poor folks, there's families, there's couples, all kinds of folks. And they were waiting for their turn to present offerings to the Lord God Jehovah. Can you picture it? Can you kind of figure it out? It's not something that we're real familiar with here in our country, but that's the way it was. And the line would lead into a small room that was filled with metal boxes, and they had what would be described as like a horn that came out of the box, or a tube, however you want to say, and it was metal. And when they would put their money into this metal box, you know, clinkety, clank, 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 you know. Oh, that's the only time I can use that appropriately. But that's what happened. So as you can imagine, there's a constant clanging of coins as they're cast into these receptacles. And most of the folks, though, they're hustling along pretty quick because they want to get back to do whatever they were doing or whatever they'd got planned. But one person who'd already given his offering stands over in the corner with his disciples, and he's watching. Notice that it does not say that Jesus is watching what everyone is putting in to the box. Rather, how they're putting in their money into the treasury. And that's a big difference, right? Of course, also in the room, supervising the money box, are a number of priests. And so as the wealthy citizens pass by and make their loud clanging noises into the box, I'm sure that the priests would go, hey, thanks, you know. Many seem quite impressed at the generosity of those who would cast in a big pile of heavy coins into the boxes. It's not a surprise then that no one notices in particular this one frail little lady who enters the room. Only one person sees her, really, it seems like. Of course, that one person is the individual who sees everything. But nonetheless, she stops at the collection terminal and she reaches into her purse or pocket, or whatever, and she carefully draws out two rather small, insignificant coins, mites. The mites were the currency, that's the smallest currency used by the Roman Empire. Very light, very tiny. And she tosses both of these lightweight coins into the big metal horn or tube. And so, you know, you could hardly hear them because all the others were throwing their big stuff in and clankety clank, clank, clank. So you couldn't hear her little ding, 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 ding. After all, what difference would her two tiny little tokens make anyway? What's the point? But Jesus notices. And he notices to the point that he singles out this woman to his group of disciples, and he cheerfully confesses that her offerings are far more important than those made by the men of wealth and influence. And he recognizes her seemingly uneventful giving by telling the disciples and by having this episode permanently recorded in the Gospel of Mark and in the Gospel of Luke, ensuring her a place in history. Well, after reading about this event, you know, perhaps you're wondering, like I was, why was Jesus so taken with the widow who gave her two mites? What was it that caused him to stop and single her out in the crowd? Why? Why did he honor her minute gift so proudly and so publicly? Why? Well, I'd like to explore this morning three reasons why I believe that Jesus noticed her giving, because it's obviously for our learning. Number one, he noticed because he knows things about this little lady that nobody else knew. Well, let's talk about how did Jesus know that this lady was poor, and you know, how did he figure all that out? Well, you could argue, I suspect, that Jesus was able to deduce some things by the lady's appearance. You know, she was likely dressed in a poor person. Her robe or dress, whatever you want to call it, would be frayed. Her sandals would be worn. She was alone. Perhaps she looked lonely, which would provide a good guess that she was probably a widow coming to the temple by herself. But how did Jesus know that the two mites that she gave were all that she had? Well, I think we all know how Jesus knew such intimate details about this woman. Jesus was not just any other person, right? Jesus was God. He knew all that. It was no big deal for Jesus to have supernatural knowledge about this woman. There are other illustrations in Scripture. John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman from Sychar, for example. But not only did Jesus know this woman's circumstances, he knew her heart. And I believe he knew that from her heart, she loved God completely. I believe he knew that. The Lord still knows things about us that nobody else knows. And that is a very sobering thought. Jesus not only knows about our external acts, he knows what's going on in our hearts. So I'm asking you this morning, how you doing? Well, that's why he ignored the pompous, glory-seeking hypocrites, but notice this poor widow lady. I want to assure you today that if you are struggling, as this woman was, Jesus knows and he understands your plight. Are you suffering emotionally today? Are you burdened with worries and concerns? Are you going through a financial or a physical or emotional or a spiritual crisis? Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will work till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. No, I almost sang that this morning in honor of Bob Tissot's singing last week. But I didn't want you guys to leave, so I thought that wouldn't be good. Okay, number two. The Lord Jesus noticed it because of the attitude in which she gave. Now, I know that, you know, as I was looking at this whole chapter, they asked me to talk about chapter 12, and there were really so many powerful things there. I know that Frequently, this particular portion, verses 41 through 44, are a springboard for the topic of giving. But I think it goes way beyond that. I think there's much more in there than just that. You know, did you know that technically, this woman didn't even have to be present in the temple? She didn't have to tithe. You know, what I mean by that is, how do you tithe off of 2 cents? They're the 2 smallest coins. How do you do that? So why was the woman there? Well, that is where her attitude comes into play. She believed in God's work. She believed in God's work. This woman truly wanted to give, even if it didn't matter to anyone else in the temple. She believed in God's work. And I think we should recognize at the unassuming way in which she gave. You know, she didn't make a big show. She didn't tell everybody, oh, you know, these are my last 2 coins. She didn't say anything like that. We don't know if she told anyone about the great sacrifice that she was making. And you contrast that with the Pharisaical giving, and you contrast that those 2 ways of giving. Eh? Think about that. She quietly and cheerfully sacrificed her whole living and didn't even tell a soul. Okay, number 3. He was impressed, I think. That's probably not the right word. But Jesus noticed because she was willing to place herself into the hands of God. This woman apparently had no one else to help her in life. Her husband, it appeared as though her husband had passed. We don't know how long, but we do know that she was destitute. That's what it tells us. That's all she had. Nothing else. She was all alone. She was by herself. She didn't even have a friend. According to the Levitical law, if she had relatives, they were supposed to be helping her. There's no record of that. And think about what those 2 little coins represented to this widow. Whew. To a wealthy person, 2 mites were like pennies to most of us. Not even quite pennies. Many of us wouldn't even bend over to pick up a penny off the ground. Well, and some of you wouldn't. I forgot I was at Dunning Park. It'd be a fight for that penny, boy. No, I'm just kidding. And yet, to this woman, those 2 coins were the sum total of her livelihood. That's all she had. They were her last meal. They were absolutely all that she owned. Man, you can't even figure that out. But something incredible happened when this poor widow gave her all. She became totally, absolutely dependent on God. Have you ever been absolutely, totally dependent on God? You need to be. I don't say this to hurt your feelings or anything like that, but if you have never known incredible sacrifice, then you have never known what it means to depend on God. And if you have never known what it means to depend on God, you don't know what it means to be a disciple. Bruce, How can you be so abrasive? What did Jesus say in Luke chapter 14 and verse 33? In the same way, if any of you does not give up everything he has, he cannot be my disciple. In the same way, Jesus said, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Oh, I don't like that verse. Well, when you hear that verse or when you read it, do you ask yourself, does this mean that I have to sell my house? No, that's not what it means. Unless Jesus tells you to. Well, the truth is, everything that we have and everything that we are needs to belong to God, right? We are just stewards of the things that he gives to us. You know, we shouldn't be upset when we are placed in desperate situations. Because with God, importunity equals opportunity. Trials can become teachable moments. Problems can become possibilities. Sorrow finds comfort. Our needs become his supply. Amen? Oh, we don't like that. We're from America. Well, I challenge myself to throw myself at the feet of the Lord Jesus like this woman did. Let's really find out what it's all about, eh? There was a Sunday school teacher with a sixth grade class. And she brought in a pan of brownies. Yeehaw! And she also brought in some slips of paper. And on these slips of paper, she had household expenses. And the household, you know, like the house payment, the phone bill, the water bill, the car payment, you know, whatever they are in your world. And then before long, she picked up the tray of brownies, the pan of brownies, and she would cut out a piece, and she would say, okay, car payment. And the person with the car payment slip of paper would bring up the paper to the teacher, and the teacher would give him the brownie. And as they gave the expense slip, she would sort of, you know, she would say, I'm redeeming this with the brownie. And finally, the last brownie had disappeared. But one guy named, we'll call him Donald, because Don's on vacation this week, so we'll call him Donald. He was still holding his unredeemed slip, see? Whoa. And the teacher calls out, God. Oh, that's what Donald's slip said. So Donald walked up there, and he's hoping, man, I hope she doesn't make me feel really bad. She's got a brownie hidden in their purse or something, you know. And when Donald came up and he gave the teacher his slip that said God, she took the knife and she scraped the crumbs from the bottom of the pan into Donald's napkin. Man. Everybody's looking around. Donald got a raw deal. Just the crumbs? And then the teacher communicated that the brownies represent your money. And if you don't give God his share right away, he probably won't get anything at all except the crumbs. Ooh-wee. The class never forgot that illustration. It was the day Donald got only the the crumbs from the bottom of the brownie pan, and they learn that God should have first rights to everything that I have. And I'm sure that in the years following, some would have struggled with giving and priorities, but you know, whenever they would think about that, I'm sure they would recall the crummy Sunday morning lesson. And they know who must come first in their lives. Do you get it? Do you like it? I think the story illustrates how God must feel with some offerings when what he receives from us. Instead of getting our first thought, he gets our last thought. He gets what's left over. He gets the crumbs. We all know how Donald felt. We've been there, you know. You have a fair idea then how God must feel. I think it's true. It is the thought that counts. And that's all because God knows where your treasure is. There will your heart be also. We like to reverse it. It's a lot nicer. Where your heart is, there your treasure is. No. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Something else here that Jesus does. He tells us what pleases God. Notice that Jesus is more pleased with the widow than with the wealthy. And this tells me that God is impressed not with the quantity of our gift, but the quality of our gift. In conclusion here, you know, I wish the Bible had given us the rest of the story, don't you? We don't even know this lady's name. We certainly don't really know the final outcome. We got lots of questions here that we'd love to have answered. However, we can know that God took care of her. From Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. And from the book of Psalms, chapter 37 and verse 25, you know, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Art